Everybody got your notes this morning? We're going to begin a journey today. And today what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. Everybody, Genesis chapter 4. As you're turning there, allow me to say that we're currently in a series where we're looking at the first handful of chapters in the book of Genesis. Right now, the thought process is that we'll probably stop at Genesis chapter 11, where we'll read of the story of the Tower of Babel, because in that story, it's just loaded with good things that we need to hear, but that will be the end of the Genesis series, Genesis chapter 11. And our goal in this series is really, really quite simple, and that is that we want to help you establish what we're calling a biblical worldview, okay? We want to make sure that we get our biblical worldview of how did this all begin? How did the world begin? What did the beginning of creation look like? How did we begin? How did we as people begin? And we want to make sure that we're not taking our cues from culture. And everyone said, amen. Because how many people know culture is all over the map? I mean, it changes. It goes over there. 1 minute it's over there. But we want to make sure we're taking our cues from God's word. Because Paul tells Timothy that God's word is the source of what? All truth. And we want to make sure that we're taking our cues from God's word, because God's word, we believe at this church, that God's word is the source of all authority and all truth, okay? So let's do this. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to read the first 16 verses, and I'm going to have, why don't we do this this morning? Why don't we just stand as we honor the word of God, and Heather is going to come, and she's going to read the word of God for us.
Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When he grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth." Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. You've banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord replied, "No, for I will have a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
All right. By the way, that word Nod means a place of wondering. So he was left wondering. So Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that your word would not return void, that it would go out and accomplish all that you desire for it to accomplish today by the power of your Spirit. Lord, be with us in these moments. Give us ears that hear, eyes to see, hearts that receive from your word today. God, may we receive the challenge of your word today. Lord, I pray that you'd be speaking to us today. We just pray for the dynamic of the power, the work of the Holy Spirit to be here today. And Lord, we know that it's not up to me, but we're depending upon you, Holy Spirit, to do the work that only you can do in these moments that we have together. And Lord, I just pray that we'll be ready and open to receive what you would have us to hear today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. What I want to do today is I want to focus on a question. I want to focus on a question where casual Bible readers, as well as people who have studied the Bible for several years, have asked. And here's the question I want to look at today, and that is, why did God accept Abel in his gift, but he did not accept Cain in his gift? That's the question we're going to look at today. Why is this? Why did God accept Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift? And through my reading this week, I've discovered that scholars have debated this question for years, year after year after year. And they basically come in, they have basically concluded with three different views. Today, we're not going to look at all three of their views. Today, we're going to touch on the one that I believe is the most biblically, scripturally accurate. I remember we were in Bible college and we were learning hermeneutics. That's the study of God's word. And I remember a professor once saying that when you face a difficult passage, you need to remember that you need to allow scripture to interpret scripture. And I think that's very important that we just don't take one scripture and then go off on a tangent. But it's important that as we look at a scripture and we're in question, what we do is we go to the passage, we go to the rest of the Bible, because scripture will interpret scripture. Does that make sense? So it's very important that we do that. And that's what I believe that we're going to do today. So here's the question. Why did God accept Abel and his gift and not Cain and his gift? And I believe actually the answer is quite simple. And I believe the answer is found for us again in verses 3 and 4. So if you had to direct your attention again to verses 3 and 4, I want to read it, and I'm going to give a little emphasis here, okay? It said, when it was time for the harvest. Let's just stop real quick. Most scholars believe that this was a regular practice. This is something that Cain and Abel would have done regularly, okay? Many people believe it was maybe as regular as each and every Sabbath. We don't know that for sure, but one thing we know for sure, that it was a regular practice, the time of the harvest. And we read there that at that time of the harvest, Cain, look at the words very carefully. Cain presented some of his crops. I want to emphasize some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. So he gave what he had. He was what? He was a farmer. So as a farmer, it was time to give a gift. So he gave a gift of what he had. He gave of his crops. He gave some of it. On the other hand, we know Abel was what? A shepherd. So what's he going to do? He's going to provide a gift from what he has. Okay? But look at verse 4. It says, Abel also brought a gift. And check this out. The wording is very important. He brought a gift. It said the best. Everybody say the best. Yes. The best portions of the, and don't miss this. This is very important. Firstborn. I want you to remember that. Firstborn from the lambs of his flock. So here's what I believe. I believe that God accepted Cain and Abel's gift, but he accepted Abel and his gift. And by the way, it's not just a gift, it was also Abel, but he rejected Cain and his gift, not only the gift, but also Cain. Why? Because look at, Abel clearly gave the best. I don't want you to miss that this morning. He gave the best and he gave the first of what he had to God. So when it came time to give the gift, a regular occurrence, a regular practice, they both show up, and we see that Cain, we're told, gave out of his surplus. But Abel clearly gave his best. It says he gave the best portions of the firstborn lamb. But Cain, on the other hand, we're told, brought some crops which were not necessarily the best. Some believe they may even been damaged. Some believe they would have been what Cain would have considered to be the leftovers. The leftovers. Okay? So let's talk about that for a minute. Sorry, but my mouth's really dry right now, so I need a lollipop. Some of you are like, oh my, what's going on at this church? That's so good. Let me ask you a question as I eat my lollipop. When it comes to your closest relationships, think about it. What would you rather have? Would you rather have someone's best or their leftovers? Let me ask you again, wives, when it comes to your relationship with your spouse, do you want your husband's best, or do you want his leftovers? You want quality time, don't you? You want to make sure he's what? Listening. He's processing. He's in the moment. He's not thinking about 100 different. I see people looking at each other right now, so I'm. Husbands, I'm sorry. How many people have a best friend? How about when you spend time with a best friend? Do you want their best, or do you want the leftovers? Isn't it a bummer when you're spending time with a friend and they're texting? Shame on us. It's almost like you're not important. Let me ask you a question. How many people like lollipops? Let me ask you a question. How many people want my best? Is there anybody here today wants my leftovers? If you say yes, come to the altar after service. I'm praying for you. You're sick, okay? So what if I came up to you after service and you saw me chewing on this lollipop? I actually even bit into it. And I said, here, a special gift for you. How many people would rather me pull out a nice lollipop out of the bag that was still wrapped and say, hey, I want to give you my best? Think about this. Could it be that God's no different? Could it be that God wants our best? Exhibit A. Could it be that he's not interested in exhibit B, our leftovers? Think about that. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle this situation, but we'll just put it right here. Because here's what I used to think. I used to think that this doesn't seem fair. Have you ever read this passage and thought, this isn't fair? Why is it that God wouldn't accept Cain's offering? I mean, I used to think, well, maybe Cain didn't know any better. But I love, if you look at the whole text, you see that he did know better. Actually, if we go back to verse 7, we're not going to go there on the PowerPoint, but if you have your notes or your Bible still open, you'll see that God says, hey, he says to Cain, you'll be accepted if you do what's right. To me, that the assumption is, it suggests that he knew what was right. He knew what was right. It's very interesting how God works. You know, I'm preparing this message this week on one hand. On the other hand, I'm reading through the one-year Bible. And in the one-year Bible, it just happens to be that we're in the book of Exodus. And as I read the book of Exodus this week in preparation for this thought, God just kind of gave me one of those moments where it's like, wow, God, that was awesome. Have you ever had one of those moments when you're reading the Bible? Because look at it. I want to look at a couple passages. These are in your notes. Exodus 22, right in your notes. God speaking, he says, or God's Moses speaking to the people concerning God, says, you must not dishonor God or curse any of your rulers. Verse 29. You must not hold anything back. Everybody say anything back. Anything back. Don't hold anything back. When you give me an offering from your crops and your wine, don't hold anything back. But give me your firstborn sons. That's a dedication. Verse 30. You must also give me, look at what it says, the wording, the firstborn of your cattle, your sheep, and your goats. Why is God asking for the firstborn, the first? Because in Scripture, you're going to find there's a precedence, and that precedence is the first is always the best. The first is always the best. That's how it works in God's economy. God wants the first because it's the best. Let's look at two other verses. Actually, it's the exact same wording in two different chapters. Exodus 23 and verse 34. It says, as you harvest your crops, this is later in the text, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord. Did you catch that? As you come and you harvest, bring what? Everybody say it together. The very best. Of the what? The first to the Lord. Okay. And I realize that these passages, I understand they're written sometime after Cain and Abel actually gave their gift. But I really believe that both of these guys, these brothers, knew exactly what God expected from them. I believe their parents would be who? Adam and Eve. I'm sure on several occasions, Adam and Eve sat down and said, hey, when it's time to bring a gift to the Lord, little Cain, make sure you do this. Make sure you give your best and make sure you give your first. Because they knew that God wanted their best, their first. They knew that God wasn't this God who was into the extra, the leftovers. So here's what I want you to see this morning. And I want to just give you this word this morning. If you're 30 years or younger, 30 years old or younger, I want to let you know this message, if you apply it to your life, the rest of your life can change the quality of your life. Is everybody hearing me this morning? If you're above 30, there's going to be some course corrections that we have to make, okay? And I'm included in that. But young people, please hear me this morning. Your pastor wants to help you because we love you. And if you'll live by what we're going to talk about this morning, I can guarantee you God's blessing upon your life. How many people want God's blessing upon their life? Say, yay, may. How many people want God's blessing? Amen. Okay. So what we're going to talk about this morning, and we're going to be very brief this morning because I want you to be able to digest this. And I want you to know that this is coming from a heart of love and respect, not a heart of wanting to hurt people. But I want to show you God's precedent, God's ways, not my way. This is nothing to do about me. I'm just happened to be the one speaking today. Has everybody got that this morning? But this is about what God would say to us, okay? So what I want to share with you this morning is a principle found in God's word, and it's called the principle of first. Let's all say that together, the principle of first. I want us to think about that, the principle of first. What is the principle of first? Well, I happen to be reading a book by a guy named Chris Hodges. He pastors a church down in Alabama, and he wrote a book called Fresh Air that I'm reading. And I want to show you his definition of the principle of first. It's on the screen. It's also in your notes, so please fill in the blank. The principle of first is an opportunity to declare. You want to declare who means the most to us. Declare who means the most to us and what we consider the most important priority in our life. Keep that up there. That's the principle of first. It's the opportunity we have. I would say it's day to day. To declare who means the most to us and what we consider the most important priority in our lives. And I want to suggest to us today, to myself as well as to you, that God wants to be first in our lives. Are you hearing me this morning? God wants to be first. He wants to mean the most to us. This may surprise you, but Heather doesn't mean the most to me. My kids don't mean the most to me. How many people know God means the most to me? Are they important? Absolutely. Are they very valuable? Yeah, they're so valuable. But at the end of the day, this is what's most important. God's the most important. God wants to know what's the most important priority in my life. Because if you go back to Exodus 20, the first commandment God gives to the people from the mountain, he says, you must not have, what, any other gods but me. I got to be first. I got to be what's most important. So God wants to be first. He wants to be most important. He doesn't want the leftovers. And I would declare today that God doesn't deserve the leftovers. Amen? I declare today that God deserves the best. Because how many people know that God set the precedence of what we're talking about this morning? Do we all understand that God gave us his best? Do we all understand that God has given us his best? He has put this into motion for us. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, a verse that we all know. Let's look at the next verse, John 3:16. And in that verse, it reads like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you see what God did there? He gave his one and only son. It's not like there was a surplus where God said, okay, son number 23, you're going to go down to earth, you're going to sacrifice your life on the cross. But how many people know that God gave his first and he gave his best when he gave his son? That was an act, that was an expression of his great love for us, that he gave Christ the first and the best. Why? So that we can have eternal life. I mean, yay, God. Thank you, God, for that great gift. But it doesn't stop there. In the Godhead, we see Jesus Christ. How many people know that Jesus gave his best? See, Jesus didn't come to earth to give us his leftovers. But when Jesus came to earth, he came and he gave his best. What's his best? He gave his very own life. Why did Jesus give his very own life? As a sacrifice for our sins. Because without that sacrifice, we're enemies of God. We're far off from God. There's no peace. There's hostility. But Jesus came and he came to the cross and he gave his very best. So we see this precedence in the Godhead. God gave his best in Jesus. Jesus gave his best when he gave his life. So what we're seeing here is God's not asking for something from us that he wasn't willing to do for you, to do for me. God gave his best. He wants us to give our best. So what we're going to do here this morning, we're going to conclude, and I want to give you a little homework, a little challenge. Because last week, I have those weeks when I preach and I don't feel like I go home and I think, that didn't go the way I wanted it to go. Has anybody ever done any public speaking? And you get home and you're thinking, oh, I just don't think that connected with people. Some people say, well, and other people, oh, it didn't really connect. And I asked somebody close to me, what did you think? And he said, Dad, I didn't like it. Because here's what happens in our house. Every Sunday we go out to eat after church, and we have a little critique time. Sometimes it turns into a little roast time, okay? I said, Nolan, what is it that you didn't like? He said, Dad, I like when you leave us with something to do. And I said, that is a great observation that I'll try to do every week. Because Andy Stanley says when you preach, you should do two things. Tell people what you want them to know. And then number two, tell them what you want them to do. So I've already told you what I want you to know. This whole principle of first. That God wants our first and best. Now we're going to tell you, it's not like I'm going to demand you to do this. I'm going to suggest, okay? This is what I want you to do, okay? So if you have your notes, I want you to fill in these blanks. And this is my heart for you, okay? So beginning this week, everybody say this week. Say this week. I want you to put into practice this principle of first. And I'm going to give you three suggestions. Suggestions. So don't hate me when you leave here today. These are suggestions. And I want to let you know that I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not requiring of myself. Okay? And I want to let you know probably the second one that I mentioned today is my most difficult one. But we need to do this. Okay? So three suggestions of how we can give our best, the very first, the principle of first. Number one is give God the first of your week. Why don't we make it a priority to give God the first of our week? And by the way, congratulations, you're batting 1,000. Okay? So give your neighbor a high five and say, you're doing great. Awesome. Okay. But here's my challenge. I was reading this week in preparation for this message, and I read that it takes 2 months to form a new habit. I've heard the 21-day thing. How many people have heard that? That's something you do every day. But if there's things that you only do throughout the week, it takes 2 months to form a new habit. So here's my challenge to you this morning. Do you realize that Easter is 2 months away, which falls on April 1st, Easter Sunday, 2 months away. And here's my challenge to you. Why don't we be a group of people that we say, God, I'm going to give you the first of my week. God, the first of every week for the next 2 months. I'm going to make a commitment to say I'm going to be in church. And I realize there's people who have work schedules that demand that they can't be here. I know that sickness happens. But I also know there's a lot of other reasons sometimes that we just say, well, I'm not going to go today. May I suggest to you that we practice this principle of first, that we say, God, I'm going to give you the first of the week. I'm going to make it a priority Sunday morning where I'm going to get up, even if it's 5 degrees outside. Even if there's very random places to park and it's difficult, I want to challenge you. Why don't we all get in this together and say, I'm going to practice the principle first by putting God first in my week. It's very interesting how culture is changing. I'm not sure if you realize this. I grew up a child of like the 70s, okay? And in the 70s, if they did a survey, they found out that average church attendance in the 70s was people that went to church at least 3 times a month. How many people grew up in that day and age? I know for the Bechtels, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every single week, no vacations. That's just how we grew up. We didn't have the resources, so we were in church every single week. But now, they're finding out that the average church attender says, the average church attender is somebody that goes, guess how many times? Once a month. They say, yeah, I'm a regular church attender. It's once a month. That's average. How many people want to be above average? Come on now. How many people want to be above average? How many people know that God deserves more than average? And I would suggest to you, why don't we try to make this a priority for the next 2 months that I'm going to do my best to make church, the beginning of the week, a priority. You say, well, I'm going to be out of town. I want to let you know we're not the only church. Do you know that other cities have churches too? It's really cool how that works out. But I know when the Bechtels go on vacation, and it's not always met with great excitement, believe me, but I say, okay, we're going to get up and we're going to go to church. It's the principle of first. For me, that one's a piece of cake. Big reason is because I have to be here, okay? But how about you? Let's talk about you. A principle first. Say, God, for the next 2 months, man, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to say, God, you deserve first. You deserve the best. At the beginning of the week, Sunday, I'm going to start the week out and being in your house. Number two, and this is the most difficult one for me, and that is give God the first of your day. Give God the first of your day. Wow. How many people wake up with a list in your head of things you have to do already? How many people are list driven? I'm list driven. I wake up and there's about a list of 10 things that I know I need to do today. And I tell you what, God's been really challenging me to say, give me the first of your day. So what does that look like? That looks like before anything else takes place, you give God the first of your day. For some of us, that may mean this, that you may have to wake up, get ready 15 minutes early. And then as you go into 15 minutes early, you get into the what I call the triple threat position. You thought that was only for basketball? No, it's for life. Triple threat position is I'm going to take 5 minutes of my day to read the word. Take 5 minutes, read God's word, 5 minutes. We're not asking for you to be a Bible scholar, but 5 minutes. Then while you take the next 5 minutes, say, God, I'm going to pray. There's a lot in my life today. I'm going to need your help. God, I'm going to need wisdom. I'm going to need direction. God, I'm going to give you the first 5 minutes and I'm going to pray. And then here's the third group of 5 minutes is, why don't you put on some good praise and worship music and begin to allow those lyrics to begin to fill your head and your heart at the beginning of the day instead of listening to Tom Bernard on KQRS, okay? So let's give God the first of our day. And I know that's very hard for me, and I want to let you know, I know of a high school student, a young man, who I've heard of through the grapevine, that he has begun to put this practice into his life in like the last 3 or 4 months. And he gets up about 25 minutes early every day, and he goes into a closet that he's converted into a Bible reading room, and he's reading his Bible and praying. And I heard about that kid. And when I heard about that kid, I was like, Lord, I am so convicted. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm his dad. And I'm not even doing that. And you know what? That's changed this week. So here's how my day starts now. Before anything else happens, I go into the living room with my one-year Bible. And we're reading through the one-year Bible the first 15 minutes of the day. You know what I'm finding out what God's doing? He's increasing my ability to get things done. Are you hearing me this morning? He's increasing my ability to get things done, and I'm finding out at the end of the day I'm getting done early. Party time. You know what I'm talking about. There's something about when you put God first that he knows how to take care of the rest. It's called the principle of first. You give God the first of your week. That's easy for me. First of my day, that's very hard for me. Number three, and we'll conclude here, give God the first of your treasure. Well, don't we love that one? Everybody shout me down now. Everybody say, yeah, let's go. Okay, first of your treasure. We know that today in the church, it's called tithing, where we believe that we give God 10%. I'm going to share with you something that really blew me away when I found it out. And that was years ago, we did this teaching at church by Robert Morris called The Blessed Life. And he began to teach us as a church, this was like 12 years ago, he used to teach us that tithing is not only giving 10%, it's giving your first. So this is what Robert Morris is teaching in this teaching. He's telling you before you write out the mortgage payment, before you write out the utility bills, that the first is that you give to God. How many people know that's scary? That is very, very difficult. That's hard. But I'll tell you what happens in our house, and I'll just give you a peek into our life quickly. And that is every Tuesday night, I'll come over and I'll pick up my paycheck from the church. And then on Wednesday morning, Heather will have me sign the banking documents because I don't do banking. I don't like that kind of stuff. Heather does it. So I'll sign on the back of the check, sign the deposit slip. And here's what happens is then I usually go off to work, and what she'll do is she'll stay home until, and then she'll leave for work just a few minutes early to stop by the bank. And here's what happens 95% of the time is I'll come home for lunch or sometime in the day before she gets home, and there'll be a check on my side of the bed. And it's a check for me being such a great husband. She says, thank you for serving me. You're so good looking. I'm so blessed to have... No, that's not the case at all. But here's the deal. It's a check written out to the Northern Michigan, Wisconsin District of the Assemblies of God. Because as a credential Assembly of God minister, I don't get to tithe to my own church. I tithe to our district office so they can cover the expenses, keep the lights on, just like we have to do here. But the first check that's on our bed is Heather writing a check out to pay our tithe. Then she'll take her check later on when she gets paid and writes it out to the church. Because here's the deal. God wants our first and best. He wants the first of our day, our week. He wants the first of our resources. And here's the promise from Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. It says, honor the Lord with what? Everybody together, your wealth. And check out the wording, with the best part. The best part. Here we go. Principle of first of everything you produce. And here's the promise. Then God will fill your barns with grain. Everybody say, whoa, that sounds great. And your vats will overflow with good wine. Basically, in our vernacular today, God will take care of your needs. Amen? I know it's hard, you guys. It's hard for me. These aren't always easy. I'm not the perfect example of these things. So don't look at me like you're speaking down at us. No, I'm not. I'm trying to communicate what you need to know. That is, God is a God of first. He wants our first and our best. You say, what will be the result of practicing the principle of first? What will happen? Well, first of all, I want to make something crystal clear. And everybody listen, lean in for 1 minute. I want you to hear this crystal clear. And that is that God can't love you any more than he does already. I want you to hear that. So I don't want you to think we're earning God's love. No, God can't love you any more than he does already. How do I know that? Look at a Bible verse. It comes from Romans 5:8. Let's look at Romans 5:8 together. It says, but God showed his great love for you, for us. How? By sending Christ Jesus to die for us when we had it all together, when we gave, when we put him first. No, it says, well, we were what? Still sinners. So I'm not trying to say we're trying to notch up to get God's love. We're going to work for God's love. God, if I do more, you'll love. No, that's already been determined. God is crazy in love with you, to the point that he sent his most prized possession, his first and his best. He sent his son for you. So what happens when we practice the principle of first? This is what's going to happen when you practice the principle of first. This is what God's going to do. He's going to open the door. He's going to open the door of his blessings in your life when you put him first. And when you give him your best, it's as God is opening the door of his blessings. He's not loving you more. That's been determined, but he's ready. He's saying, I know, there's a heart, there's a person. They're giving me their best. I'm going to pour out my blessing on them. So I just want you to receive these challenges today. I know they're very challenging, but I want to encourage you with the principle of first. I want to encourage every young person, before you get in debt to the point where you're saying, I can't do that, put this as the foundation of your life. If you're 30 and younger, I want to tell you, I can guarantee it. Young people, hear me. Practice the principle of first. Give God your best of the week. Give God the best of your day. Give God the best of your resources, and you will never, ever regret it. Amen? Us older people, we're set in our ways. We're set in debt. We're in over our head. What do? We got to gut this out with the help of the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I'm here today. Tomorrow, I'm going to get up 15 minutes early. God, I'm going to begin. How can I begin? How can I begin to give the first of my resources? God honors obedience. Amen? It was about a year and a half ago that my son Grant made a big decision. And he made a decision that he was going to a private school for college. And I got to confess to you, I wasn't all on board. There was times I was actually very nervous because I'm actually a very frugal person. I'm very financially conscious. And when we heard how much it was going to cost, you know what my first response is? And I'm going to confess to you what my first response is Lord, we're going to have to stop giving. I didn't say that to Heather because she would have shot me. But I was thinking, God, can we afford to continue to give at the level that we've been giving? And I just felt like God speaking, not in an audible voice, not a weird thing, but I just felt like God's Spirit saying, this is not the time to stop. This is the time where it says in Malachi, test me. And I'm here to report we haven't had to resort to ramen noodle yet. We haven't resorted to tuna and toast. But God has just done amazing, amazing, amazing things. That if I were to tell you those stories, it would seem like he's bragging. But I just want to declare the goodness of God this morning, that God is so good and he's so faithful that when you give him your best and your first, it's amazing what he'll do, the doors of blessing that he'll open up into our lives. So let's quit and say, God, I declare today, leftovers No way. God, you gave me your son. I'll give you my best. By the way, here, if you're here today, have you accepted God's best? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord of your life? Have you said yes to Jesus? The only way that we can have forgiveness of sin, the only way that we can have true peace with our Creator is through Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And before anything else, that's the biggest step. I want to encourage you that you would say yes to Jesus. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, my thought is, what are you waiting for? Why not today? Is there anybody in this room this morning that you need to say yes to Jesus? Maybe for the first time, yes, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner and that you're my only hope. You're my Savior. Will you come and into my life? Will you be my Savior, my Lord? Is there anyone today that you need to accept Christ for the first time? Oh, guys, this is it. This is the big ticket. Jesus Christ on the throne of your heart. This is the starting point. This is the starting blocks of a great race. So, Lord, I just ask that you would be at work in this body. God, that we would be people of first and best to you. Lord, we're weak. We get so many distractions around us, telling us how to live life and how to do life. And, Lord, may we keep our eyes on the one who knows, because you made us. And, God, I declare, Lord, that we will be people not to receive your favor, but, Lord, just because of all that you've done, we want to give back and we want to give our first and best to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.